Blog Talk Radio.
Psalms 94:16. Who will rise up for me against the evildoers? Or who will stand up for me against the workers of iniquity? Unless the Lord had been my help, my soul had almost dwelled inside of me. When I said my foot slipped into thy mercy, O Lord, held me up. Who gon' do it? 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 I'm a man of God, not a boy. This goes out to Bath, Troy, Babylon, USA, gonna be. Destroyed. I sold a coat, sold a weed, XC, what you need? I had the room, had the light, grew my own, no seeds. I went to bed, couldn't sleep, for about 2 weeks. Commandments I keep, so what I read? Whole neck Bible is my rifle. 12 hours, 12 months, enough 12 disciples. So Judah, time to stand up, pray and put your hands up. Time's up, what you gonna do? It's time to man up. See the signs, end times, do you understand, bruh? How are you guys doing? Coming to you guys live from Revolutionary Gospel News. Hi, this is the writer Arthur Joseph Smith, the writer of the Revival of the Roman Empire, the Return of the Antichrist. The Rise of the Antichrist and the Return of Christ. And then my next anointed book, which is The Devil Workshop, The History of the Church and the Rise of the Cult. Last book being The Caliphate, Rise of the Islamic Nation in Temple Mount. All books inspired by God, people. It's not something that I just got up one day and wrote. And thank you guys for coming out to my show. It is another Sabbath, and God has all blessed us to be here. And we're going to be talking about evil men, when evil men ruled the world. I put it in the past tense because it's not going to be for long. And they say evil men that ruling the world, they are already doing it. And we're seeing the effects of this on all of our people, our families, our friends, and how they have brought our world to what is coming to a closer and closer to an end. And looking at President Obama, who's down there messing around in the southern China Sea and South China Seas and trying to pick a fight with the Chinese letting them know, I am not scared. We're trying not to jump on y'all, but stop messing around with us. Same thing with Russia. He's playing around in Syria, and we see the great confusion that is going on there and the mass exodus of the Syrian people, but yet that is prophetic in nature. The Bible in Isaiah 17 talks about Syria being a ruinous heap. Well, people, today I will be talking to you about that, but before we get started, let's have a quick prayer, you know, to give God honor to God. Without God, I know none of the things that I know, and I thank him for opening the scriptures up to me. So let's say a quick prayer and go right on into our show, people. Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, I ask that you bless everybody who has come out to hear the show, that you may give them the ear to hear, Lord. Give them understanding for what time they're living in at present. And Lord, let them understand that the return of your Son is near, and to have faith and confidence in the word that you have given, Lord, that we may know and see you in peace, and that we may do what is right for our souls and our family. In Jesus' name we pray, and I ask that you bless all the hearers out there to have an ear to hear your word. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, people, so we're looking at the situation, and right now we're in a position that we have never been in since there's been a country. A lot of people are looking at the Pope, and they don't understand who is the Pope. You know, a lot of people look at them, and they don't understand that Catholicism and Christianity are two different religions, really. The Catholic never tells you he's converted into Christianity. Instead, he says he converted to Catholicism. A lot of people don't know that. But he's hiding under that he's supposedly a Christian. According to the scriptures, it doesn't matter. It would not add up to what we're seeing with his teaching versus the teaching of the word of God. Because you find out that when the Son of God came and he sent his apostles out into the world, they were teaching about his coming kingdom. But at the same time, they were telling the people that his theocracy, God's, was going to send him back with a theocracy that was going to trump all these government systems we see, and the corruption would be gone, and we all would be living under the word of God. The Pope, on the other hand, like he said in 543, let's look at that. It's going to be the Gospel of John, verse 5. In verse 43. Okay, what do you say in 5 and 43? I have come in my Father's name, and you receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him you will receive. This is speaking prophetically. Him you will receive. See, the Pope has not come in the name of Jesus. More or less, he's come in the name of the Catholic Church, in the name of Pope Francis. People are welcoming him. Because, see, they have nothing to do
with Jesus. They don't know what truth is, and there is a reason for that. Pope Francis, on the other hand, to unite everybody, because the ideology of these people that he's uniting is the same doctrine that is coming out of the Roman church. But where does this teaching come from? The Gospel of John 8 and 44 enlightens you into why he's able to bring all these people together. Why is he able to bring all the religious leaders together? And why is he able to bring the political leaders together? The John chapter 8, 44, you can look what he says. Ye are of your father, the devil. In the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth. Okay? Because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own. For he is a liar and the father of it. Satan is the father of all false philosophies, all false religions, Buddhists, Muslims, Hindu, all that stuff you see. They can come together under Pope Francis because their father is the same person. It is Satan. He's the one who have their doctrine mixed with a little bit of truth, but it's got this a little bit of truth to draw you in, but then there's the lie that he has hidden in that. And I want to look at a scripture because there's a reason why people are in such a state and so easily deceived. This is what the problem is, because a lot of people have not done what's required by God, and they stand before these churches. But look what God says. And this is in Jeremiah 23. And I'm gonna go back up to a scripture for those true believers who are in these churches. They said they should defect. Okay, he says, and this is verse 21. Okay, let's go to verse 20, Jeremiah 23 and 20. It says, "The anger of the Lord shall not return." Okay, and hold up, let's go up to 19, because this is what's going on actively right now and around the world. And this is prophetic of what would happen, how we know some of the events that let us know that we are in the last days. It says, "Behold, a whirlwind of the Lord is gone forth in fury." You know, the first, we've been seeing hurricanes, but have you noticed they start to become record whirlwinds, like the one that hit Mexico? And then you had another one, I believe, that was correct, that's over there. It's hitting in the Arab Peninsula area. To go forth, even a grievous whirlwind, it shall fall grievously upon the head of the wicked. The anger of the Lord shall not return until he has performed the thoughts of his heart, his mind. And in the latter days, in the end times, you shall consider it perfectly. I have not sent these prophets, yet they run. I have not spoken to them, yet they prophesy. But if they had stood in my counsel and had caused my people to hear my words, then they should have turned from their evil ways and from the evil of their doing. Notice, he had not sent these people. All these churches you see out here claiming that they believe in God. And here's one to the apostate. In other words, those that are defect from the truth. And that's in the earlier part of Jeremiah 23. It says, "Woe be unto the pastor that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture." You know what Thessalonians talks about? There should come a great falling away first, chapter 2. And then that man of sin be revealed. This is what happened. He said, except there come a falling away first. And this had to happen. They have to abandon the apostles' teaching. These are the pastors he's talking about, those that scatter the sheep of my pasture, says the Lord. "Therefore, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the pastors that feed my flock, ye have scattered my flock and have driven them away and have not visited them. Behold, I will visit upon you the evil of your doing, says the Lord. And I will gather the remnant of my flock out of the countries where I have driven them, and bring them again to the fold, and they shall be fruitful and increase. And I will set a pastor over them, which shall feed them, and they shall fear no more. It's talking about Jesus, nor be dismayed, neither shepherds. So yeah, that would be still dealing with Jesus, but then those elect, those 144,000. Shall feed them and be shall fear no more, neither dismay, neither shall they lack, says the Lord. Okay? So you have that coming. We're dealing with that time when the Lord is going to do this. This is when this is going to happen. We're in that time. We're at the point of the falling away because we have the false prophet. And let me show you something. A lot of people don't know. They think that there is many ways to Christ. They will tell you that. They will let you know. They say, man, God wants a variety. I didn't hear that. And I hear people coming out and saying different teachers other than what the apostles teaching. For instance, there's a group out there saying, we want to make you know what God's name is. Okay? And the first thing that comes to my mind is that what Jesus was teaching? And he says, and this is verse 32 of Jeremiah and verse 39. He says, and I will give them one heart and one way, that they may fear me forever for the good of them and of the children after them. So he said he should give them one way, okay, one heart and one way, one mind and one heart. I mean, one way, one course to enter into a covenant relationship with him, how to worship him. Okay? And then there is John. You know, people, it's kind of funny. I got all these markers in my Bible. I can see I need to move them because it's kind of hindering me or stopping me from going to the place where I want to go in the Bible to show you there's not multiple ways. And we're going to the Gospel of John, and I look at one of the scriptures and go on to what we're seeing before our eyes, and nobody really warning the people of the impending judgment that is coming upon the world, although the people feel it. And I want to go back. I'm going to go back and look at the issue of the name also. But we're down in the Gospel of John chapter 17. The Gospel of John chapter 17. Now, this is what Jesus said. Look what he says. As thou hast in verse 18, not 17, well, yeah, 17 is fine. I was correct on that. He says, sanctify them through thy truth. In other words, thy word is truth, a clear understanding of the word of God, a revelation, not an interpretation. A revelation is a clear understanding of the word of God, clarity. An interpretation is your opinion. There's no clarity with that for the revelation. And as thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also into the world. For their sake, I sanctified myself. He set himself apart from all religions. Okay? That thou also might be sanctified through thy truth. In other words, the word of God will separate you from all these falsehoods. You will understand there is but one way to God. You won't feel you can just go to any church and listen to these preachers, and then you listen to some of these preachers talking, but yet they have a twist to their teaching, even though they claim to be apostolic preachers or people who's following Christ's doctrine. Okay? He says, now look what he said in verse 20. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. Notice that. Those of us who shall believe on them through their word, through the apostles' teaching. See, on the day of Pentecost, they were talking, and they let us know how to enter into a covenant relationship with God. But many have abandoned that teaching, and many have never even been in that teaching and claiming to be saved. How is that? Okay. And he tells them, and here's them when they're in one accord, one place. This is the first century church, and really church understanding of church is ecclesia, the called out ones in the world, the ones who've been called out of this world to be a part of God's coming kingdom, his government, his theocracy, his the new kingdom, like you're living in this country right now, a kingdom that does not have corruption, but God is running it. They say when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were with what? One accord, one mind, and in one place. He talks about, and there suddenly came a rushing, a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues, like as of fire, and it set up on each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues, not no foreign tongue. Watch the scriptures, people. Don't let nobody tell you the evidence of speaking in tongues, and they have you babbling and muttering. And as it says in Isaiah 8:16, let you know where this teaching stopped. But I'll get that in a second. And I'm trying to work my way to what is going on in our world when men rule this counterfeit kingdom that is being established before our face. The Pope going out and gathering everybody. You know, chapter 13 of Revelation, that is where I'm trying to get to. Chapter 11, where it shows this false prophet coming along and gathering all the people and also establishing a new monetary system with the mark of the beast. That's where I'm going. But before I can get there, I got to explain you what is truth. You know, what is. So I'm just talking, and it looks like everything else. I'm giving you an understanding so you can make a difference between what is and what isn't. I'm not telling you an interpretation, my opinion, but I'm giving you a scriptural revelation, a clear understanding of the word of God. So it goes on to say, as they were filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them the ability. And he said, they were dwelling at Jerusalem, Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. Now, when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speaking in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these which speak it Galilean? Where do they get that from? You know, they tell you speaking evidence of speaking in tongues. Where do you get that from? Where did that come from? And I was troubled because I think about the people who tell you that. I like to know, how would they know what it sounded like? It was way back then. You weren't there on the day of Pentecost, but as you can see, they were speaking scripture. Let's look at Isaiah 8:16. 8:16, it says, bind up the testimony and seal the law among my disciples. Notice this. It all stopped with the disciples, so there is no other teaching to be added. So when you look at all these other religions that are coming out of John Calvin and Martin Luther, that's those men's opinion. It goes back to them and it died with them. So in other words, you follow them, you have the same fate they have. I just named a few. You talking about Charles T. Russell. He's to what name is he talking? He got people out here talking about, we bring you the name of Jehovah, when Jesus clearly said, I come to you in my Father's name. John 5:43. He came to you in far. What do you mean he came? What name did he come in? And then in the Philippians, it's chapter, let me look before I can give you the right scripture. Now think about what I'm saying. Here's the revealing. And actually, I don't even have to go that far. I'm going to stop at 17, then I'm going to go in there, and I'm going to go back to the scripture I just read to you. 17. Look what he says. 17:6. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine thou were, and thou gavest them me, and thou have kept them in thy word. So what name was he talking about? So you see, he manifested the name. So was he manifesting the name Jehovah? And don't forget, I'm still talking about tongues too. I'm just trying to cover a quick base here. Look at this. And it's Philippians 2. It says, who being, and we're starting at verse 6, people, and I'm not trying to rush. That's why I said what I'm doing, because I have so much allotted time. I can extend my time, but for that backing, you guys have to go out and get my book. But I want to stick in the scripture. I'll talk to you about that at the end of the show. He said, who being in the form of God, started not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of man. He was created in the likeness of man. And being found in the fashion of a man, he humbled himself, even though he was the Son of God, and became obedient unto death, even to the death of the cross. Now look at God, this God or his Son. He said, wherefore, God has highly exalted him. God ain't highly exalting himself, he's exalting his Son. Wherefore, God has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. So do you think there's a name above God's name? Giving him a name above every name. God has named him after himself. That's where people get mixed up. They think, well, there's a Trinity. There is no such thing. The Bible does not support that. So what you've seen, he's been named at this far. He's given a name above every name. Is there any name above God? Okay, so Jesus carries his Father's name. Okay, now Isaiah, coming down in time here, Isaiah 16. He said, bind up the testimony and seal the law among my disciples. So it stopped at his disciples. We have nothing to add to this. It's already been established. Like he said, he sent them. It stopped there. It started at Jerusalem, Luke 24. It was spread all through the world. No other teaching. One heart, one mind, and one way. One spirit, Ephesians 4. One hope, one expectation. And you can read Ephesians 4 because I got to push on. And I will wait upon the Lord that hideth his face from the house of Jacob, and I will look for him. Behold, I and the children whom the Lord, this is prophetically speaking, Jesus speaking, I and the is speaking about Jesus. Behold, I and the children whom the Lord has given me are for signs and wonders. Where? In Israel. Notice that. In Israel. Who said all this? You're going to be healing and doing all this all over the world. Said, for in Israel, when all the stuff was taking place during the time of Acts. He said, for the Lord of hosts was dwelling in Mount Zion. He said, when they shall say unto you, seek unto them that have a familiar spirit, a common spirit, unto a wizard that peep and that mutter. Peep and mutter, that evidence of speaking in tongues. Not the gift of the tongue when they were talking, people really interpreting. We're talking about the stuff they have today, saying that's evidence that you have the Holy Ghost. That peep and mutter. It says, should not a people seek unto their God from the living unto the dead? It says, to the law, in other words, the Old Testament, and to the Testament and the New Testament, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. They have no knowledge of God. Okay? And so, as we've seen in the day of Pentecost, so you've seen they come down, and then they gave instruction on how to be saved. And they talked about in verse 36, it said, therefore, let all the house of Israel know, assuredly, that God has made that same Jesus whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now, when they heard this, see, they were speaking to their intellect so they could understand what was going on. It wasn't some babbling tongue. Okay, when they heard this, they were pricking her, they became convicted in their hearts and said unto Peter and to the rest of the brethren and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, how? In the name of Jesus Christ, for what? The remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. I'm going to end up making a part two of this, people, so I can continue on and carry you into how these people are establishing this counterfeit kingdom. So you have to repent and be baptized in Jesus' name. For what? For the infilling of the Holy Ghost and for the promises unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, as many as the Lord our God shall call. So if you've been called by God, you're going to get baptized in Jesus' name and be filled with His Holy Spirit. That makes you a part of the kingdom of the God coming. If you don't do that, you have no part of this, because in Romans 8 it says, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. It's not part of you. You're not part of the coming kingdom of God. And see, a lot of these guys have gone out and they're teaching, but what authority do they teach? So, people, I'm going to go ahead and close out, and I'm going to make a part two. And I don't like to mess with Sunday, but I might. I will see. I'll put it up, and you'll see what day it is. But is going to back me in this ministry, people, go out and get my book, They're Anointed, The Revival of the Roman Empire, The Devil Workshop, The Caliphate, Rise of the Islamic Nation, and The Temple Mount. And as I said, it might be either Sunday or Monday I'll pick back up on this. I kind of like to stay away from Constantine Day. I don't respect that day, and I really don't want to do nothing on that day. This is like a Sunday is where that leads out to. The Sabbath is the day that God chose. I thank you guys for coming out once again to the Revolutionary Gospel News. I hope today has been enlightening for you, and may God bless your hearing and understanding in the Word. You guys have a great evening. Hello, how may I help you?